welcome. And I think Franny just joined us as well. Franny, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Franny, thanks for joining us.
Give me a minute. I went to the other link and it didn't work, but then I got the right link, so here I am.
Okay, welcome. Thanks for joining us. We'll see if a couple more folks join us in the next couple of minutes. I want to actually start by having our newest members introduce themselves quickly. So, Councillor Rodley, I'll throw it over to you.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Corey Rodley, and I am the Ward 3 councillor in Springfield. In my day job, I am the Equity and Engagement Director at United Way of Lane County. And that's me. I live in Springfield, and I'm 2 months in to being on the council, so I'm glad to meet you all and to be here and see what kind of trouble y'all get up to.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us. We're excited to have you, and this is great timing because we have some really interesting work to dig into, so welcome. Caitlin, I think we all know you, but do you want to say anything or introduce yourself formally?
Sure. I'm Caitlin Vargas. I'm the newest president of the LTD Board of Directors, and I have the pleasure of seeing some friendly faces here. So I had the pleasure of working with Amy over at Cornerstone Community Housing, and I left that during the pandemic to stay home with the kids. So I'm super excited to reconnect with her. And then Jerry, I've known for a long time. He's been causing trouble in my life for quite a while. So here we go again. I know you and Franny have got to listen to you in some of the MPC meetings. So just really excited to be part of this group. And, you know, working with Emily has been such a great time. And so I'm looking forward to just see what we can contribute to this group, and want to thank all of you for the time that you take to volunteer to do this, because it's really helpful for the board. And as we embark on this strategic business planning adventure, I'm looking forward to how these all intertwine together. And so thanks for having me, and Councillor Rodley, I look forward to getting to know you.
Excellent. Thanks, Caitlin, and welcome to you both. I do not have a lot of kind of preliminary remarks before we get started, other than to say I'm really excited that we're kind of really digging in on our strategic business planning process, and that will be the bulk of our meeting today, as a presentation on what's happened at the board level so far, what the new consultants have brought on, and what kind of SPC's role is shaping up to be. So digging into that, before we get into the strategic business plan, we're going to look at the Main Street project out of Springfield, and get an update on where that is, and provide some feedback. So those are our two big agenda items here. Logistical note, I might have to step off a little bit early, but Marianne is ready and equipped to wrap up the meeting here, so we might transition kind of at a later stage of the meeting. Any other announcements or additions to the agenda before we go into audience participation? Okay, well, I will do the spiel on audience participation here in a minute, but I've been asked to let everybody know, you may know this already, that these meetings are now being live streamed on both Channel 21 as well as through Metro's TV for viewing only. So still the best way to participate if folks want to kind of share public testimony is to join via the Zoom link, but folks also now have this live streaming option. So we are doing that tonight, and we have someone from Metro here to help support that as well, so thank you. Because of that, it's really helpful for us if folks are making sure they can join a little bit early. I know we're all used to just jumping on right before the Zoom call starts, but folks can plan to get on, you know, 10 minutes early, just so we can really start that live streaming process smoothly, that would be much appreciated. Okay. Oh, and there's Marianne. Welcome, Marianne. Okay, so audience participation. This is the part of our agenda that's reserved for members of the public to address the Strategic Planning Committee on any issue. So I'm just going to go through those instructions really quickly. If you would like to indicate, or if you would like to provide public testimony, you can indicate that by using the raise your hand function on Zoom. If you're attending via phone only, you'll want to press *9 on your phone in order to raise your hand. When it's your time to speak, your name will be called. And if you are attending via phone only, the last 4 digits of your phone number will be called. When you begin your public comment, if you can please state your name, your city of residence, and who you're representing, if anyone, for the audio record. And then once you provide your testimony, your hand will be lowered. We ask that you don't raise your hand again. Only one opportunity to speak is being provided at this time. If you're unable or don't want to speak publicly tonight, then you can provide your testimony to Camille, the board clerk, via email at clerk@ltd.org. Public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member, and we'll pull up a timer on the screen, so we'll let you know how much time you have left and when that 3 minutes is up. All right, if there's anyone who's in attendance that would like to provide public comment testimony, feel free to raise your hand at this point. I'm not seeing anyone. Are you, Camille?
Apologies, I was double muted. No, I'm not showing anyone indicating they would like to speak.
Okay, excellent. Well, we'll keep on moving then, and hope folks are watching the live stream from home. Okay, our first kind of action item before we switch over to projects is just approval of the minutes from our January 5th meeting. Any comments or questions on those minutes? Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the January 5th meeting?
I'll second.
Amy, thank you. All right, I'm just going to do a quick roll call vote here. Amy?
Aye.
Caitlin?
Aye.
People are jumping around. Councillor Rodley?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Franny?
Aye.
Thank you. Jerry?
Yeah, I wasn't there, so I abstain.
Okay. Emily, are you going to?
Aye.
Thank you. Marianne?
Aye.
Okay. I vote aye as well. Did I miss anybody? Pete, sorry.
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you. Did I miss anybody? Okay, so moved. We've approved the meeting minutes from January 5th. All right, well, I will hand it off then, I believe, to Tom and Molly from the City of Springfield to walk us through the Main Street update.
Great. Thank you, Leah. And Molly, do you want to have, oh, there's Emma. Excellent. So we have 2 guests from the City of Springfield tonight to go over the status of their project, the safety project. And just for context, we have also, as you know, been coordinating with them with respect to our Main Street Transit study. And this project is going through its process, and want to get an update on that so that when we get back to talking about the Main Street project, you'll have, Main Street Transit study, you'll have some context. So with that, take it away, Molly and Emma.
So Emma.
Good evening, everyone.
So I'm Emma Newman, Senior Transportation Planner with the City of Springfield. And since it's been quite some time since I've been to the Strategic Planning Committee to talk about the Main Bay Transit Study, I thought I'd give a little bit of context, as Tom was just alluding to, about the transit pieces, and then hand it off to Molly for the presentation on the Main Street Safety Project, since these efforts are coordinating planning along Main Street, one corridor, one wonderful street that is the heart of Springfield. So the Main McVeigh Transit Study Phase 1 evaluated whether or not to pursue studying transit along Main Street and McVeigh corridors in Springfield. Phase 1 wrapped up in spring of 2015, with the Springfield City Council and LTD Board recommending to move forward with additional study of MX, Enhanced Corridor, and No Change. There is a governance team that provides guidance to these projects and other efforts along the Main Street corridor. It's called the Main Street Governance Team. It consists of two LTD board members who currently are Stephen Yett and Michelle Weber, two Springfield City Council representatives, and our ODOT area manager, Franny Brindle, who you are all familiar with, seeing her here this evening. Good to see you, Franny. So after that, we moved on to the phase two of the Main McVeigh Transit Study. During phase two, the Main Street Governance Team directed the project to remove the widest cross section that had been considered. It would have had dedicated bus-only lanes, and so that was removed from consideration with the design options. In July of 2019, the governance team recommended removing the MX transit mode from further consideration and move the enhanced corridor and no change options forward for further analysis for Main Street in coordination with the Main Street Safety Project, which you'll hear more of in a moment here. Moving forward with enhanced corridor and no change for further analysis in coordination with the Main Street planning efforts. I just want to note that the LTD service planners and development planners are on the Main Street Safety Project Technical Advisory Committee. So that's a group of staff who coordinate across a number of different agencies and bring their technical expertise to the planning process. We have a standing coordination meeting with LTD staff. And then at the most recent Technical Advisory Committee meeting in October, the city requested that members take a deeper look at our draft toolbox and recommendations and provide any additional transit input to be incorporated into the draft facility plan, which is the next step in this process. So with that, I'll turn it back to Molly to give an update on the Main Street Safety Project.
Good evening. Can everyone see the screen that I shared? Okay, great. I'm Molly Markarian. I'm a senior planner with the City of Springfield, and the Main Street Safety Project is a collaborative effort between ODOT and the city. So we have joint project managers, and I am the city's project manager for this project. I know that some of you are on our interested parties list and receive e-updates periodically about the project, but for those of you who are less familiar with the Main Street Safety Project, I'm going to do a brief project refresher, let you know where we are with the project, and then review the draft solution toolbox that we have developed, because the next major milestone in the project will be developing a draft facility plan for council consideration. We like to start our presentations with the purpose statement for the project to help remind us why we're all here. The purpose of the Main Street Safety Project is to select infrastructure solutions that will make Main Street safer for people walking, biking, driving, and taking transit. For a little bit of context around the types of crashes that we see on Main Street, we see a high percentage of rear end and turning movement crashes on the corridor, which is common for urban streets with a high number of intersections and driveways, but 80% is particularly high. Our data shows that the primary causes of crashes on the corridor are failing to yield right-of-way and following too closely. So the Main Street Safety Project is recommending changes to Main Street to help improve safety and address these specific types of crashes that occur on Main Street. Some people have asked us whether there are specific areas on Main Street where we see more crashes than others. As you can see in this map, crashes occur throughout all of Main Street, and thus why we really need a corridor-wide solution. Over the past 2+ years, the project team has been refining the recommended solutions based on community input, technical analysis, and city council feedback. At this stage in the planning phase, we are seeking feedback on draft recommendations to inform preparation of a draft facility plan that will guide future design and construction of safety improvements on the corridor. Overall, we've heard from business and property owners, city council, and the broader community that we need to address safety on Main Street while balancing safety elements with impacts to businesses. Thus, our recommendation is a toolbox of safety infrastructure elements that includes roundabouts, raised medians, sidewalks, and bike lanes. Design and construction would occur in phases along Main Street over the next 5 to 20 years as funding becomes available. We have short-term and long-term recommendations. An example of how we responded to community's desire for gradual implementation on the corridor. In the short term, we recommend keeping the cross section much like it is today to allow for medians to be put in quickly. Raised medians would have the biggest impact on safety while having less interruption to travel on Main Street. In the long term, we recommend improving the safety and comfort for people walking and biking. Most of the corridor would have buffered bike lanes and a slightly wider median, resulting in an additional 4 feet of width on each side of the street. For approximately 4 blocks where we have larger existing right-of-way and fewer driveways, we recommend a cycle track next to the sidewalk. This is not a one-size-fits-all recommendation. Both long-term cross sections increase the overall footprint of Main Street to improve the bike facility, but include flexibility for modifications specific to each segment along the corridor that could narrow the overall footprint in physically constrained sections of Main Street. The necessary modifications to the recommended cross sections will be determined during future design phases. Another tool in the toolbox are raised medians or islands in the center lane, because they can do the most to reduce conflicts and move turns to safer locations. They can also make pedestrian crossings safer. Most of Main Street would get raised medians, but we would adjust their locations so that people can still make some left turns and U-turns. The toolbox incorporates flexibility through guiding principles to help meet safety needs while balancing impacts to adjacent property and business owners. 12 guiding principles reflect the input we've received to date to help a future design team determine the appropriate location for breaks in the median. These guiding principles include considerations such as keeping openings at all major intersections, allowing left turns and U-turns at minor streets where possible, limiting the amount of extra time it takes someone to access properties on Main Street to 30 to 60 seconds on average, allowing left turn access to major traffic generators, and allowing emergency vehicle access. As I mentioned, raised medians have the greatest potential to reduce crashes on Main Street. Use of raised medians, when combined with roundabouts, would reduce crashes by nearly half and limit out of direction travel for business access to about 30 seconds on average. Community members told us this would be an acceptable trade-off when we did outreach. The last major component of the toolbox relates to intersection control. Roundabouts are recommended as the long-term solution for Main Street. We would add roundabouts in phases, another example of location-specific gradual implementation. That was a brief overview of our draft solution toolbox and recommendations. We're still at a high level of planning, and there is a great deal of flexibility that we've built into the toolbox to allow the city and ODOT to work with business and property owners to address site-specific concerns as design progresses. Right now, we're wrapping up this round of community engagement. We're meeting in a couple of weeks with the full LTD board. And then we will be sharing our draft recommendations and all the feedback that we have received to date on the draft solution toolbox with the Springfield Planning Commission, the Main Street Governance Team, and the Springfield City Council to inform our drafting of the facility plan this summer. So now I think we might have a couple of minutes if there are any questions.
Thank you, Molly and Emma. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Thank you very much. And I encourage if folks, if you have thoughts after the fact, and also if you aren't on our interested parties list and would like to be added, please go to our project website, and there are links there to comment and to sign up for the interested parties list.
Awesome. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks, Molly and Emma.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, I'll hand it over back to Tom to get into the strategic business plan update.
Great. So good evening. As you know, we're currently working with the team from TransPro to prepare the agency's first strategic business plan. Some of you took the opportunity last month to sit in on the board's work session where TransPro provided an overview of the process for the development of the plan. Tonight, Lindsay Schofield from TransPro will be providing a presentation that describes in more detail what the process and schedule is for the development of the strategic business plan. She'll also provide an overview of some of the typical types of engagement that have been used in their efforts across the country. We'll also have Pat Walsh outline the communications plan being developed for the project. And SBC will be asked to provide comment and recommendation to the board on this communications plan. Following the presentation and SBC's discussion of communications, there are a couple of other things that we had on the agenda. We want to make sure we focus on this tonight. If we can't get to those other items, within the memo related to the strategic business plan, we can cover those at a later meeting, but we'll hold off on those just to give time to the presentation and any questions and comments you might have. So with that, I can share my screen Lindsay can share her screen.
Good evening, everyone. Nice to meet you. My name is Lindsay Schofield. I'm a principal with TransPro and the project manager for this effort. And I'm really excited and feel privileged to be able to engage with you all on this topic. We're a company that really focuses on public sector excellence, and in particular, transit is our specialty, and we work with transit agencies across the country on developing strategic business plans like this one, and also managing performance and continuing to really cultivate leadership and transform how they're delivering service. So I would like to share with you tonight just a little bit more about the project, the schedule, at a high level, the role of the board and the strategic planning committee. And then, as Tom mentioned, share a little bit more about communications and engagement process for these efforts when we're initially building out the first strategic business plan. So in terms of the project, we are, as Tom mentioned, really building out the first strategic business plan for Lane Transit District. And what we are doing is really refreshing the mission, vision, and core values and goals of the agency so that there's clear direction and prioritization as Lane pursues future projects. One thing that's important to note is that this is really about how LTD will do business going forward. So we're not talking about specific changes in service through this plan. It's really more about setting up a structure and a framework for strategic decision making going forward. And it's something that will increase the transparency amongst the board and stakeholders and the community and customers about the overall direction of the organization. So we start off with our first task is the refresh of mission, vision, core values, and goals. And this leverages a lot of the work that's already been done to date. So I know that you all have provided really solid thinking and direction that we've been provided through document discovery. There's been surveys and other documents that have helped us to understand where LTD has been and the direction that you're going. We've also engaged in very collaborative workshops. So we've already met with the executive team on multiple occasions, as well as a larger group of about 30 to 40 Lane Transit leaders have also engaged in one-on-ones with members of the board, and Lane Transit staff have also engaged in some additional internal sessions to really understand again why Lane Transit exists, why folks show up to work, and how that really inspires the direction of the mission and vision and values. The next task is around making it all stand up and how this framework will help Lane Transit develop a structure moving forward. So we just had a work session yesterday with the executive team to talk through the initial development of a performance scorecard. This will be a method for Lane Transit to measure progress towards goals and be able to share that back with folks like you going forward. And then it also cascades down to the department so that each department also understands and is able to measure how they're contributing to overall success of the organization. And then there are tactics and quarterly milestones so that the team is planning their work and engaging in a way that they're again making strategic decisions and being able to ensure that work is progressing on those key initiatives. The next task is happening concurrently. So it's really happened since day one of the project, but it is encapsulated in a draft communications plan. So we've been working with LTD staff, who you'll hear from later this evening. And we've also been engaging in communications as soon as the project kicked off. So we'll dive into that topic a little bit deeper this evening. And it all comes together. This first plan will compile all of these elements into a strategic business plan with an updated mission, vision, values, with this structure for going forward. And that will be presented and shared with not only internally, but with the board and certainly with your committee and with your feedback as well. I wanted to share a sense of the schedule. So we have kicked off the project at the end of January and already have had a number of work sessions, as I mentioned. So we have currently really had all of the work sessions with directors and leadership group for task one and are still working towards finalizing drafts of those updated statements. We have just kicked off task two. So we're starting to talk about overall outcomes and performance metrics. And again, for the most part, not reinventing the wheel. It's really a structure to leverage things that that Lane has been measuring before, but it's putting it together in a manner that allows real clarity and for each employee to also see how their work impacts on these overall outcomes like customer satisfaction and value to the community. The communications plan we mentioned is well underway. We'll talk more about that. And then finally, the draft plan. Our first draft is targeted for April 7th, which is just a few short weeks away. And then the final draft would be May 14th, so that there would be time in June for the board to adopt the plan. So we are well underway with the process and looking forward to continuing to engage with you all over the next several weeks as we progress through this. So we shared this with the full board, but just wanted to share this framework with you all as well. So when we think about the role of the board in strategic planning, this is the framework that we work with agencies across the country on, and it really starts with the why and the what. So the why really is that purpose and that the reason why that LTD exists and how we can convey that in really clear and compelling terms. You probably all would have trouble reciting Lane's mission statement today, but we, through this process, will assure you that that you will be able to recite it and share it with the community, and Lane Transit staff as well have really been working hard to distill a mission statement that everyone in the organization will know by heart and be able to connect with. And so, so that's a really key part of the process and really provides that overall direction. And then the what are those measurable strategic outcomes? So having, again, real clarity around what the outcomes are that we're trying to deliver. And that's where the board really plays a major role, and by extension, this committee. So this is about ensuring that Lane Transit District does have clear direction and is actually delivering on the things it's saying it will deliver through the mission, vision, and outcomes. And then as we go to the right, the how and the who, this is how it comes to life. And this is where the board empowers staff to manage who is responsible for getting the work done that produces these overall outcomes, and ensuring that that those outcomes and the performance metrics are being measured and reported on so that you can tell whether you're progressing towards those key outcomes. So I wanted to share what typical engagement for strategic business plan development looks like based on our experience working with other transit agencies. And we want to call the distinction to the initial development, which is the stage that that Lane is in, which is really focused more internally on setting up the structure and the framework for strategic decision-making. And so you'll see that there's really heavy internal engagement through meetings and workshops and all hands meetings as well. Lane actually just last week had an inside the bus meeting with employees from all different departments and areas. Over 50 employees participated and contributed to the development of values. So everyone is really buying in and having an opportunity internally to participate in shaping these key things that will drive Lane going forward. We also leverage a lot of existing survey data. So there are customer surveys. There are plans that you all have created that had heavy elements of stakeholder and public engagement and other studies that help us to inform the direction of the plan. And then we also are engaging in board and targeted stakeholder conversations to test ideas and messaging throughout the process. And then we wanted to share what this looks like going forward. So we're focused on this initial development of a plan, but what we see in going forward, and we've already seen that in the way that the Lane Transit team is showing up in this process, is that when it comes to the next plan update and to ongoing implementation, this is really going to represent a change in how LTD does business. So it's not just a static plan and what it gets adopted is set in stone for 10 years. What it is, it's really this framework, and it actually strengthens LTD's commitment to engaging the community. So just some examples, when we're talking about measuring outcomes and understanding what the priorities are of the community and of customers. That requires surveying. It requires Lane to go out year after year to collect that feedback so that it can continue to inform the actual tactical things that will drive those overall outcomes and mission and vision. There are also tactics related to increasing community partnerships and other built-in engagement throughout the plan. And then there are metrics that are related to things like access for communities of concern. And so if you look to the right, this loop, if you will, what this plan enables is that Lane will be implementing tactics that are designed to improve community value in order to understand whether you're improving, you're measuring community sentiment, and you're constantly looking at what are the community's priorities, what are our customers' priorities, and then using that to feed as feedback to update the strategic business plan going forward. And so it continues in this loop that actually strengthens engagement over time. And we've seen that in a lot of agencies that we've worked in where they may have had, for example, a customer survey that was only done every 2 years. And through the process, many of them are now surveying customers more than once a year. And so there's this, again, the structure is in place, and in order to achieve those outcomes and to understand whether progress is being made, it really builds in this really robust community engagement. So with that, I'd like to share a little bit more about the communications plan. We shared this with the board as well. And again, this is developed and executed in collaboration with LTD staff. And we think about it in two buckets. The first is internal communications. And as I mentioned, this is where the bulk of the effort has really been focused for this initial plan development. We think about it during the project. So again, thinking about the weekly project management meetings, email blasts, all hands meetings, inside the bus events, things like that. And then plan rollout, where we will plan for an actionable plan that has owners and messaging for actually rolling out the completed plan to the workforce. And again, this is an actionable plan, so it's not something that just sits on the shelf, but there's strategy around making sure that everyone understands the direction and feels connected to it. And then on the right-hand side is the external communications. And again, during the project, we're considering the board as an sort of an internal and external stakeholder, in the case that you all and you as members of the strategic planning committee represent other groups and other perspectives beyond your own. And so we've had one-on-ones with board members, and we plan to continue to engage in one-on-ones and briefings to the board and to the strategic planning committee. Also targeted stakeholder outreach that represents the community, and reviewing existing surveys. So looking at the voice of the customer and community through the review of recent surveys, plans, and studies. And then just like the internal communications, we would work with staff to develop an actionable plan, owners and messaging for rolling out the completed plan as well, and for routinely communicating progress as well towards achieving the goals of the plan. So with that, I would actually like to pass it to Pat Walsh, who will talk a little bit further about the stakeholder outreach in particular. Pat on.
Pat's in the audience.
Neil, do you want me to try to pull him over? See if I can do it.
No, I got him. Sorry about that. He kept bouncing around. I couldn't get him nailed down. He should be there now.
Well, it's always important to make a dramatic entrance, so I appreciate that. Thank you. And thank you, Lindsay. And as she passes the baton to me, I want to, you know, just restate some of the things that are really important to us as we've worked on this plan, and that is to keep our focus, and that this is a plan that allows us to build a framework for LTD to conduct business internally, but also then to be able to launch to conduct business externally. And it's that's really what we're focused on. So in terms of the communications plan, you know, we want to take what Lindsay's team has used in other communities and then localize it. And of course, one of the ways we want to localize it is through some targeted stakeholder outreach. And how we're in some of the key groups that we want to talk with in this short period of time that we have to work on this is all of you, each member of the SPC. You all represent an organization or a government body or a group of people in the community. And it's important for us to hear and learn from you to inform this plan. We're also going to recommend that the LTD board members be asked to provide a list of no more than 5 key individuals in their sub-districts, you know, for us to communicate with about this. So, you know, they're the authorities. They're on the board because they represent a sub-district. And so folks from those sub-districts could be neighborhood association leaders or a major employer in their sub-district, a key neighborhood influencer, or a community organization or nonprofit that's in their sub-district. So we're going to recommend that the board provide us who they believe in their sub-districts are key for us to discuss and to meet with. Then we also want to talk with the business community. You know, that would include BEST and multiple chambers of commerce in Lane County, Lane Workforce Partnership, Eugene Table, which of course is a growing organization in town that represents businesses in the food and beverage industry and others as well. And again, we wanna survey the leadership of these groups to help us inform the strategic business plan. And then we also believe it's important that we talk with the union leadership and more of our staff members, because they are key, and you know, they're key internal stakeholders as well. So what we've done using the plans that Lindsay's team have developed is to try to put a more Lane County spin on these stakeholder groups and be able to reach out to people that are internal, but also some people that are on the periphery of our internal loop that we can receive feedback and valuable input from. So that's how we see the communications or outreach go here, not only internally, externally, but certainly as we get out into the stakeholder outreach. So with that, I'll kick it back to Lindsay.
Thank you. So I think we have time for questions, or Tom, if there's anything else you want to add before we go into questions or discussion.
Yeah, maybe I'll just to wrap a few things up. As we've discussed it internally around, you know, the communications plan, and you know, one of the things that we've talked about is you're making sure that SPC understands what this plan is and what it isn't, and you know, you've heard a lot of discussion about how really the focus of this effort is to help the agency focus on you know, key initiatives and basically meeting, you know, focus on meeting the expectations of the community and the long-term goals that the community has for the agency. And so in that context, that's what Lindsay's been describing, you know, the meetings and discussion internally to really refocus how we are doing our day-to-day work. And Lindsay mentioned the use of scorecards. And if you're familiar with that form of management, that's a really good way to really could tie what we want to accomplish to what we're doing day-to-day. And so that's what the plan is. And just to be clear, what it isn't is a decision on anything related to our service changes. It's not related to any capital projects we are talking about. That's not really part of what we're trying to do here. Those processes are working themselves through other decision-making processes. So In that context, then that's where we came up with this communications plan. And again, we want to engage SPC tonight in talking through that communications plan with the idea that we'll take it to the board at their meeting later this month. So maybe begin with Leah, do you want to facilitate any questions and comments from the committee? Maybe Leah has.
I think Marianne is going to take the lead on this.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks, everyone. So it looks like Franny has a question. I see your hand up. So we'll start there. And then if people have other questions, please raise your hand and we'll go from there.
Thank you. Very nice presentation. I guess I'm having a little bit of a disconnect to what we heard about in January, or I guess it was January when we first heard about that we were going to endeavor with this strategic plan. I thought we would have a more of a role, I guess, up front, but it sounds like that has changed to be mostly internal so far, you know, staff. I just was confused about what our role is and what I had expectations about what our role would be. I thought we would have more of a, more of a role in developing the plan. So that's a comment I have. And then as far as the communication, the only thing I see missing is I think that we really wanna focus on when we're doing the external community outreach, the disabled community and, the folks that don't have access to vehicles, that don't drive cars, that really rely on the transit for input. Thank you.
So Franny, did you want me to respond to your first statement, or was that a statement, I guess?
Yeah, I guess I was wondering what the disconnect, am I the only one that felt that way? I thought that we were gonna have more of a role. I was confused about that.
Well, a couple things. What I think we have been saying consistently, and we look to SPC for this, is really connecting, making sure that the strategic business plan that we develop is really connecting to the larger goals and expectations of the community for LTD. And you'll see more of that. Yeah, tonight we weren't gonna get into that part of it as much, but that ultimately what this is helping us do is in a more measurable way, demonstrate to the community that we're meeting expectations. And we haven't had a plan like this, so we don't have a lot of base of reference, but that's really kind of where we're going. And I think the role that SPC plays, again, is a critical link to those bigger goals. And as we'll take you through, the details, the scorecards, kind of how we're laying out the work and focusing the work, and seeking your input on that as well. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
And it looks like Mark, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I can add a little bit there. So staff has probably, I don't know, 60 or more hours into this thing. and so to dump that on the strategic planning committee is just not possible. So what we have to do is a lot of work in the background and to kind of put things together and bring to you and say, how we're doing, how are we doing? What do you think? How about where we're at? Are we off or are we on or whatever? And so that's really the critical piece for the strategic planning committee. We've got, again, we work every day in this stuff and trying to put it together. So we try to bring a really good package to the strategic planning committee and get input so we can understand how to move forward. So thanks.
Jerry, go ahead, and then Amy.
Yeah, so one thing, I'm thankful that we have a new city councilor from Springfield who cares about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I really would like to see this communication plan try to help develop our community to understand those terms and why it's important to have, especially the transit district, think about equity and involve all of the organizations that deal with those kind of concerns. And that inclusion piece has always been important to me. And part of what I've always believed is that our drivers, folks who understand this community way more than any elected official, because they deal with us. And it seems to me that we have a real opportunity to help lead our community on the equity piece and the inclusion piece. And I would encourage us to list some of the organizations that deal with those issues, especially in light of this last year that we've dealt with. So I will be quiet, but I really do believe this communications plan has an opportunity to make a real difference in our community as far as equity and inclusion.
Thanks, Sherry. Amy, go ahead.
I'll try to keep this brief. My first question, so Tom mentioned, this is a question for the consultants. Tom mentioned service changes and infrastructure investments not necessarily being a part of this plan, but these are kind of two of the more controversial and high stakes decisions that LTD has to wrestle with is what changes to make to service and where to invest infrastructure dollars. And I'm wondering if this strategic business plan, even though it doesn't specifically address it, if it will provide a framework for kind of backing up some of those decisions that can be really challenging.
Sure. Tom, would you like me to take this one? Or start off?
I think
you're on mute. I'm gonna assume I'm good to go. So yes, I think you're absolutely right that this does help provide clarity, at least to think through the trade-off. So I know you're all familiar being involved in this committee that any of those decisions do have trade-offs between different outcomes. So for example, the team is always measuring, you know, what's going to impact the customer experience versus what's going to allow us to operate in a financially sustainable manner versus what the community is really going to value. And so through this process, it is going to provide at least that framework to make it more explicit what those trade-offs are. So for example, you know, how we may be measuring customer experience or how we may be measuring the value delivered to the community. So those are directionally some things that the organization leadership, you all as the governing, as the board is the governing body and you all playing a role as a committee, really will be able to use that direction and to have those conversations with this framework that will help in selecting projects or considering different options for investments going forward. Tom, is anything to add or anyone else from?
No, that was going to be my response, Amy, is that again, you know, the word focus is going to come a lot into this because it's really helping us focus our work. And I think it's going to help the board and SPC provide a more focused engagement in those decisions, you know, as we get to them in the course of time. So it really is setting us up, I think, for a more successful conversation with the community about those things. And again, I think it is going to be real supportive of SPC and the board as they you know, wrestle with some of the bigger issues.
Thanks, Lindsay and Tom. Pete, you have your hand up.
That takes a lot, folks. I really appreciate this
your presentation and everything you guys are talking about. I have a couple questions regarding this idea of, as we go down the line, from what I understand, you guys are looking at making this somewhat of a living document, if you will, and you're going to be surveying of people. Now, in this strategic business plan, is when you talk about surveying people to kind of check back at how your success or failures are for it, are you identifying who you want to survey to be sure whether the community that's affected by it, let's take for example, if you want to do more paratransit for disabled people, would you be surveying those, identifying, saying we're going to survey the disabled community and see, make sure we're doing that in the right way, and not necessarily writing those surveys now, but having a kind of a specific who are we targeting to make sure that our metrics are being met. Did that make sense?
I think so. And Lindsay, if you've got some experience to share here, that would be fine.
Sure. Yeah, I was going to say I can share from just perspective from other agencies who are already implementing or years into implementing their strategic plans, and then I'll turn to Tom for more LTD specific. So what we do see is that, you know, a lot of transit agencies, I'll use Charlotte as an example. It's one that I have been working with for a few years, and they do routinely survey their bus customers, as well as rail, as well as paratransit. And they also do, you know, a statistically valid poll of their community to understand community perceptions over time. And that's really built into the design of the plan, so that they are making sure to get customers from every single route and across different days of the week and times of day, to ensure they're getting that more representative feedback from the folks who are impacted by any future decisions that the agency makes. In this particular strategic business plan, we don't necessarily envision planning what those surveys would look like. So our engagement is really on creating the structure and then built into the plan will be some work to do in terms of setting up those information systems. But I'll turn to Tom to speak more to the LTD specific response to that.
Sure, and if I can, I'll come. Mark, you still have your hand raised. Do you want to say something? Mark Johnson?
No, I think Lindsay covered it okay, so I'm good, thanks.
Okay. What I was gonna say is just picking up on what Lindsay's talking about, Pete, if I understand your question, I mean, the intent, you know, think about how, you know, this work plays out, and we've got something, you gave the example of a specific community, and to the extent that our service is particular, if a particular strategy is focused on that community, that's how we're going to focus our survey. You know, we don't just do general surveys. I mean, this is really important that we target you know, survey questions to specific action items that we're carrying out. Does that answer what you're getting at, Pete?
Yeah, I think so. I'm really, you know, I don't want to say the accountability. I'm really more looking to make sure that when you're getting the right information to update your plan and make it a better plan as we go on in the future. That's really what I'm driving at.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Good question.
All
Yeah, and I'll just add that, you know, this plan will have measures, which will be a key part of it. There'll be a scorecard, and the scorecard will include, all of our services really are, you know, and so how do you measure those? How do you understand how we're doing? And so we will be targeting the audiences, whether it's, paratransit or ride source or other ride source services or our fixed route, just to gather information so we know how we're doing. And so it's really intended to be a long-term strategy to understand, how we're doing and how we go forward. So.
I have a follow-up question along those same lines. Is there a mechanism for doing those things on a regular basis? Is it like we do an annual survey of X, Y, and Z, or is it just when there are changes that triggers the survey? I guess how are the surveys designated?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're asking, Marianne. I would say, think about it a couple of different ways. We do regular surveys of our riders, like every few years. We completed one in 2019. That was a blanket, everyone riding our fixed route system. I think that's a, and Mark could speak to this, but on a regular basis, we also survey our riders for looking at kind of how we're doing in terms of how the service is. So we're getting more specific, not just where they're getting on, where they're getting off. This is looking at how people view our service, the quality of our service. And then what we're talking about here is, we're gonna have, and not every specific measure on a scorecard is gonna get a survey, right? It's just, we really want to reach out in key areas, targeting, and it could be, the use of our ride source service, for example, but it could even be more specific looking at, a specific element of that ridership. So it really depends on what that scorecard is asking for. And with that, maybe I'll let Mark pick that up.
Yeah, so we already do annual surveys. So we've got a customer satisfaction survey that we built through our benchmarking group that provides us really great yearly information from our customers, right? And so we've been doing that for 5 or 6 years. We'll continue doing that. But now we'll put measurements to it. It's like, what are we trying to prove this year? It's like, okay, well, we were a little low this year, so we want to improve by this percent or whatever. But there's also other opportunities for surveying customers or surveying the community, based on what we put together for our strategic plan, and putting together, the measurements and the scorecard, because, we'll have targets and you really can't be successful unless you have targets. So we're looking for, okay, here's what we want to do over the next 5, 7, 10 years. How are we going to get there? Well, every year we're going to measure, see if we're, continuing to improve, continuing to approach our goals and make sure that, we're heading for success, right? And if we're not, then we've got to change direction and really evaluate what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we achieve our success goals.
That makes sense. Thanks to you both. Pete, did you have another question?
No, I did not. Sorry.
Okay, no worries. Just wanted to check. Does anyone else have questions for Lindsay or Tom about any of the above? Go ahead, Leah.
Less of a question, more of a comment. I just wanted to kind of add to what Franny and Jerry have already shared in terms of this list of stakeholders. I looked at the kind of draft mission and vision statement that are included in the meeting packet for today that I think we'll talk about at a future meeting. But the word equitable is included in that proposed vision statement. I know it's something we've talked about as this committee, and Jerry certainly just mentioned, but I don't necessarily see that as evident yet in this list. So I think there's an opportunity there to add more direct engagement of the disability community, of different community-based organizations. And I know part of the intention is that LTD board members can recommend some folks out of their districts, but I think it would be valuable to add a little bit more explicit attention in this list of stakeholders to that kind of broader goal. Again, thinking about this as a model for some of the kind of values of how LTD hopes to kind of communicate and engage with the community in the future after this planning process as well. So yeah, I would just kind of emphasize those previous comments.
Looks like Pat might have a response, and then I see Councillor Rodley wanting to ask a question.
I do, and I appreciate both Leah and Jerry and Franny said. And Leah, you're right. We do expect our board members, if they adopt this, to know that the NAACP is in their sub-district. And if they don't invite them to be part of it, we will. There's no intention to leave anyone off. We probably should have had a fifth bullet, to be honest, but we also felt that it would, you know, that we would give everybody the same, you know, the same mention, but I think that we're not going to let that slide. I don't want anybody who's listening to this or watching this on TV to think that we're not aware of those two communities or that we're not going to engage with them. So I appreciate that you guys bringing that up and that level of concern, but be advised that is not going to happen. They're not going to be left out.
Councillor.
Thank you. I'm breaking a cardinal rule. This is my first meeting. I don't even really know what's going on, and yet I'm going to jump and flop around in the deep end. And I really appreciate listening in on this conversation. I appreciate what's been shared, and I really appreciate you all wanting to make sure that we think about equity and access and inclusion in thinking about this. And I just want to put a pin in the thinking about this as we're at the beginning of it, is that, and I've learned this the hard way, is often we start these projects or these strategic plans or these communication plans to reinforce what we think we already know. So it's so, whatever questions we start out with are so important, because sometimes we start out kind of asking the wrong questions or sort of heading in a direction of thinking where we need to go, as opposed to kind of letting it be a little more open-ended. And that's part of that equity piece of sort of flipping it upside down and saying, not necessarily how do we reinforce who we think we already are. And I know I might be just stepping in it all over the place. How do we, instead of just reinforcing who we think we already are, how do we actually figure out who we are, or figure out how that messaging works in the community, or figure out who we are to the folks that we think we're serving? So that's my little messy piece to put in and to just introduce myself to the committee. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I think for my brain, it might be helpful to know what sorts of questions in the communication plan, what questions will you be asking the stakeholder groups, or what will guide the conversation so that we can learn where we need to be?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Pat, do you have?
Can I?
Sure.
I do want, Lindsay, I think what's helpful here is, as this group knows, and I know a few of you are new, well, Caitlin, you know about this, but Councillor, I'm AJ, I'm the general manager. We haven't had a chance to meet, but hoping to meet soon. What I want to say is that because this is LTD's first time doing a strategic business plan, what our goal was to have a firm that has not only worked with many transit agencies of multiple sizes, but also a firm that's worked with the public. And what our goal would be is that Lindsay
and the firm really provide us guidance about what has been successful. I'm sure they've seen agencies in which they've worked with that have done it well and some that have not done it so well. As consultants, they provide us advice, but us as members of the community and part of the transit agency, we're the final say, right? We are the final say. And I will say that this group has a lot of influence on our board. And Mark did mention that a lot of work, a lot of the heavy lift is done only because it takes so many hours. And our goal is to bring you information that we can get your feedback. And today we've heard about equity at least 3 to 4 times, which really helps inform our priorities. And what we'd like to see happen here is for the consultant to really help guide us. These are really great questions that everybody's asking here. And for the consultants to say, you know, what's worked well with other agencies and what would they recommend we do. And Pat Walsh is leading our efforts. And I think you called it to localize it. What we then want to do is we want to take like this great process and then say, how is our community unique? And some of those unique features are LTD is funded with the payroll tax. Other places are funded with sales tax. So we know that the business community plays a strong voice here in how LTD, we know we want that continued support. We know we're a town with a university. We know we're a town in which we have 2 metro areas that play the significant foundation for our county. So those are some uniqueness of our area that we really want to capture. Our consultant would not have that insight, but they definitely would have the insight as to what's the right questions that we will be asking that's unique. And then Pat and some of us on the team would then, and some of your recommendations here, would then tailor it and fine tune it to make sure it's representative of us. But the main structure, what we do want to follow, especially as an agency, that this is our first time, we wouldn't want to not really look at what the best model that the consultants advised us on. So Lindsay, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's been successful you know, how do we take these questions and make sure that what we do here is representative of what we want to see as part of the plan here.
Sure, and I think you touched on a couple of key important considerations. And one is that tailoring to the audience. So you'll be engaging with people who have different levels of engagement with LTD today, have different understanding of the various services that you offer or how transit works. So there's going to be, I would say, a bit of tailoring based on who is being engaged with, and that will be helpful. And that's what we're really relying on the LTD team to help establish where you're at with that given stakeholder and where's the best place to start. So it really could range from very open-ended questions about, you know, when you think about about LTD, what is most important to you that they provide to you as either a consumer of the services or to the constituency that you represent, and starting to ask some targeted questions about, you know, what you view as their role in the community and what you view as the value that they may bring to the community. And as you start to hear some of those themes, you know, you may hear perhaps a theme around access. And I think one thing we've noticed is that when engaging with communities, now that we are well into the COVID-19 pandemic, there's been an increasing recognition of the role and value of transit to provide essential transportation services and not just for work. So we're starting to hear that. And so that's why it's also so important to have this ongoing feedback loop, because things are changing, perceptions change, priorities change, but things like that. So if, for example, if we were to hear some themes around access, then that might inform some of the ways that LTD measures success in community value. So perhaps there's metrics that are around access to communities of concern or for communities of concern or access to healthcare facilities or things like that. So I would say some of the conversations and outreach, folks who are more familiar, maybe more reacting to some of the plans and specifics that are being discussed by staff in the development. And then some of those conversations are going to be much more open-ended around priorities and values and really using those themes to inform. Pat, aligned with what you were thinking, or do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you're right on. And what we're going to look for is themes throughout those interviews. And what are the specific questions? You know, we'll tailor those to the group based on what we need to find out. And I think you've got it. And AJ certainly, you know, framed it well. So thanks.
Go ahead, Franny.
Yeah, thanks. I couldn't figure out how to raise my hand again. I had it last time. I love I'd love to be able to see some of the questions that would go out to the communities, because I think we could get to the question of access. For instance, how do you access transit service? What's preventing you from accessing transit services? Those kinds of things. And I just wanted to pass along something that I realized and heard for the first time when I was talking to a program manager about transit and funding and whatnot at ODOT. I work for the Department of Transportation. And what this person said to me is that, you know, transit services are more than just a service. It's a community. And I never really thought about it that way. But when you're talking about equity and inclusion, and we're talking about drivers and what they think and how people access, and when I think about safety and security as an important thing for riders and drivers, that it really is a community. And so I hope that we kind of keep that in the back of our minds as we do this communication and outreach. By looking at these subsects of communities as a larger community that accesses these services. So that's what I think.
Yeah, and Franny, and that's always on the front of our minds. I mean, really. I mean, you know, we're transit professionals, and that is always on the front of our minds. You know, who needs our services most? How do we serve them best? I mean, those are the things we think about every day. And so this is just going to help us focus in a way that we can really serve the people who need these services and the rest of the community far into the future. So I just want to set you at ease that, you know, we absolutely think about these things, and we think about them every day.
Thanks, Mark. Caitlin, do you have a comment?
Sure. I just wanted to go back to what Mark said about two things: one, about the focus, and two, about the 60 hours that have already been put in by LTD staff. This is a fast moving process, and I think we all really need to keep that in mind. And that was something that the board felt really strongly about, was that it is a high quality, extensive, but fast moving process. And so that's why things seem to be moving very quickly, but we also wanna make sure we're not duplicating efforts between this group and the board. So I really appreciate hearing both of these conversations, since the board have already received this presentation. And I want to assure all of you there's a lot of parallels in the conversations, and there's some shared concerns and shared questions. And so it's helpful to know that we're on the same page moving forward, even if moving forward means moving forward at lightning speed, which I really appreciate. And I know that, once again, that was the board's direction. So Mark and AJ have really taken that to heart and said, okay, we're gonna throw ourselves into this process. And I've been really impressed at all of the LTD staff at just how much they've put this on their forefront in the middle of a pandemic and being able to really make this a very thorough process and take it very seriously, utilizing these amazing resources, specifically our consultants. And so kudos to LTD staff, AJ and Mark and Pat that are here. You guys have done a great job so far. And I just want to commend you because it's a heavy lift in the middle of COVID. So thank you for everything that you guys have done so far.
Thank you, Caitlin. So I guess to that end, Tom and LTD staff and Caitlin, it sounds like you are looking for a recommendation for SPC to provide a recommendation to the full board about the communications plan. Is that, do I understand that right?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, so is there, I guess, committee, are there changes that you would like to make to the plan as it sits, or do you feel that it's good to go the way it is?
Can I say that we heard about adding a bullet to the plan related to access, and we'll do that.
Tom, do you mean that fifth bullet that we talked about?
Fifth bullet.
Jerry and Randy brought up. Yeah, that makes, that's good. Okay, I just want to make sure I heard that. Yep, that's good.
So it sounds like if the fifth bullet gets added to this, are we in agreement that this is something we can recommend to the board going forward?
Yes. This is Jerry, and I move forward with the bullet. We move forward to the board.
Yeah, Camille, I'm not, my Robert's rules are failing me. Is this something that we need to have a motion and a second, the whole nine yards, or is like general head nodding sufficient?
A motion and a second would be great.
Okay, so it sounds like Jerry moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
And Pete has seconded. I'm not cool and don't have a list in front of me, so I'm going to do my best to look at moving bubbles and say your name. So, Amy.
Can I actually ask a question?
Please do.
I mean to hold things up. This, what we're approving right now is creating a framework for the communication plan. The communication plan will be a separate document, or I guess I'm confused as to what the communications plan is and what we're approving. If we can have some clarity on that.
Pat, you wanna take that?
Or Pat or I can take it, either one.
Okay, go for it.
Go, AJ.
So what we know is one of the most important elements is who we talk to, making sure that we have an inclusive process and we do the right outreach. What our goal will be is using the consultant's recommendation that we will have a series of ways to reaching out, which will include, like a virtual townhouse, I don't know if that's the correct terminology, but if people
town hall, yeah.
Town hall. I don't know what's wrong with my mouth, but I'm thinking about a lot of thoughts. That's what it is. What I will say is that we want to make sure that we provide people an opportunity to have electronic access to provide input. We provide people, depending on the organizations, to actually have maybe conversations in which we'll ask them then to submit information. We'll have opportunities for us to invite people to comment to this body, to comment to our board of directors. And what we're gathering is a commentary to make sure that the framing that their strategic business plan is, it is the correct framing that the community would be asking us to make decisions. This might have been said in the beginning, but I think it's worthy repeating. The strategic business plan is not a document that we're going to get done, and then we're all gonna be like, thank God that's done, let's move on to the next project. It's actually the document that's gonna inform every decision this body here recommends to our board, which is the document that's been governing and that we've been talking about missing. So that's how this body will really be advising our board, is really an opportunity to have accountability that once the plan is adopted, every decision we make is really founded in that plan. And so that's the reason we wanna make sure that we reach out both when appropriate, only in person, maybe in person, but virtual in person, and to others, it might be electronic communication. But what we really want is to make sure that we capture people's thoughts on what we've developed and what we're presenting. And just like today, you guys did a great job of looking at this and saying, this is what is missing. And that's key. So all the moving pieces will just be dependent on the audience. We do know that as we're meeting with our comprehensive advisory transportation committee, which LTD has an accessibility committee, maybe virtually may not, or in writing may not be the best. So that those might be in person, that may be part of a meeting in which we as a group gather information. So the details of that are the pieces that Pat, Cosette, and a lot of members of the team will determine based on the specific audience we have. So we are not kind of like going into those details because that's really like the how, right? Who gets a survey? What we hope is that it is an opportunity for everybody that wants to comment, to comment, because that's really the voice that we're, that's the information we're trying to capture.
So just to rephrase, this is the communications plan that we're looking at. It's not a separate deliverable, a separate document that will come later. This is the plan for
this is the
throughout this process
that we will bring to our board of directors. The communication plan, the work plan, like those moving pieces, those are things that the staff will, of course, work through all those details much more granular level. So they'll work through that, making sure that the targeted audience that is mentioned here, plus the addition, are the audience that they're trying to reach. So they'll develop the working plan, like the details, you know, that staff do. So they will develop that. But for the board, we wanted to make sure that the audience for the communications plan, you guys have that input well-defined.
AJ, can I ask just another follow-up question about that? I'm sure you've thought about this, but I just feel like I need to do due diligence, is to know kind of more mechanics about what happens once you've collected this data. Is there a framework for utilizing it? And I'm sure the answer is yes, but I just feel the need to say that out loud.
That's correct. Some of the, as the data is collected, what we do is we look for common themes. We look for who also, if it's not anonymized, if somebody wants to say, you know, I represent the U of O, that's a big voice. They represent a lot of people. So we're not going to normalize it to just one individual. So, and that's where some gathering input will be very specific, because we know that who we're meeting may represent a big body, correct? And if they represent a big body, that's a big voice. So we're not just going to average out. We're going to take that and weigh that so much bigger And Pat has really been a loud voice for the fact that some of those communications may require in-person, even if it's a virtual in-person, because you can't just gather the data and normalize it and say only one organization had this concern and it's such a big organization. Say it's the city of Eugene, the county, Springfield's like, we want to make sure that those are big voices that we make you all aware of. But a lot of it is we're looking for themes. We're looking for how the response, if there's something we miss or something that people are in a pattern saying that, like, equity, are you really sure you're doing that? Or, you know, like, then we're going to be, wow, we got to let you guys know that was not a big factor with the community. And that's the information we want to bring you back. Our goal is really to get it right, information. We would put a summary together. And of course, just like we did today, we will bring something that we'll recommend. And based on what we recommend, there may be an opportunity for you guys to say, you know, we take your recommendation, but we have some modifications to that. Our goal is to make this process doable and successful, because it is the foundation of all future decisions that we have. And we feel that it's really important we get it right. And that's why a lot of this work is like a heavy lift for staff, because they now have to really get down to the granular level and make it happen. But it's really good work. And like I think Lynn mentioned, everybody's really excited internally about this.
Yeah, and I've got something. I mean, we're trying to define success for this organization, right? And, you know, that only happens with community input, understanding community values, understanding organizational values, making sure they're aligned, making sure we're measuring the right things, making sure that, you know, as we go forward, we're continuing to communicate with the community, making sure that as we create measurements for this system, that, you know, we are in contact with the community, that we are collecting data and we are using it to accomplish a success. So that's the bottom line here. So,
Franny, go ahead.
Well, I think the thing that's a disconnect for me is I see the who you want to go out and talk to. But what I'm guessing that you're going to talk about is the mission for the agency and values and goals, and to see if those are in alignment with what these communities are. But I guess I'm wondering, like when the question came up, what are the questions you're going to ask? Is it, my hope is that it's toward the eye of what will it take to improve access to the facilities? What is it that you need from LTD as a community? Those, because I have no idea what this doesn't tell me anything, like what you're going to do when you get to these people. It just says, I'm going to go talk to these people. And so I hope that it's with an eye toward, lining up with LTD's mission and goals and values, and, you know, that it's not just that we're going to have access to the facility, but that we're going to improve things, that we want to, you know, what would it take to do that improvement? In your eyes, community, what do you think is going to be needed to improve? That's because I have no idea what the questions are. Thank you.
Pat or Tom, is that something that we could add to? I mean, Pat's got the slide with the four bullets, soon to be five bullets. Is that something we could add, just another sentence that explains kind of what kinds of questions are going to be asked and how that feedback gets rolled up?
I think that's a separate thing altogether. That doesn't fit under what the stakeholders is. What you're talking about is the process of the work we're going to do. And I don't think we're looking for approval on how we're going to do the on that level of detail. What we do want you to do is take a look at the high end here that we've provided and trust Franny that we're the whole point of this is to find out what it is we can do to improve the services and other things and move from there. I mean, that's where we are. I don't think we're going to run by our questions across 12 people or how many people are on this board to get feedback on them. That would be practical, and it's out of some of your levels of expertise, not everybody's, but most. So I think we need to be able to move forward with an overall theme of the strategy in terms of where we are and how we can move forward. You seem to be drilling down and wanting to know what the actual process is and timeline and some of that stuff. And we don't quite
Pat, all I wanted was really the goals. That was it. Like, what's the goal of different. Outreach? Yeah. I'm sorry. I might not have been clear, but I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I think we can add, I mean, we can go back. I mean, the goal should come farther back in the presentation than at the stakeholder level. So, I mean, if we need to re-articulate that, and that wasn't clear from the time we started this project, then we can go back and put that in.
Well, this was the first time I saw this. So, so I saw the series of slides that came first, and it just wasn't clear to me that what the goals were. So that's okay.
That's a fair criticism. We'll stick those slides. We'll stick a slide back further into what the goals are.
So we have a motion and a second on the table for a modified version of this slide to include a fifth bullet that addresses a number of the communities that were called out in the questions. I guess I'd ask if there's any other questions or comments, or Marianne, do you wanna, I have the list of members up here, if you want me to call them out, or Leah, you're still here, I see, if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, Tom, if you'd call them out, that would be great.
Okay, so Marianne, you're first on my list.
I vote aye.
Councillor Rodley.
Aye.
Jerry Gatos.
Aye.
Amy Cubbage.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Franny Brindle.
Aye.
Now my list is jumping around it too. Pete Knox.
Aye.
Leah Rausch.
Aye.
Emily Secord.
Aye.
And I have to ask, did I miss anyone? I think I got everyone.
All right, thank you all for a good discussion. Okay, Tom, that was, I think, the end of the agenda, and now there's more. The end plus more.
Right. This is the end of this agenda. And again, as we outlined in the AIS for this, there'll be a couple of other things we'll bring back to the next meeting, and we'll be able to give you an update on our communications efforts as well. So if there are no other questions, we can adjourn. I'd leave that to the chair or vice chair.
And do folks have other questions while we have Lindsay on the line, or LTD staff, or comments? Tom, I have a question. Something that we had sort of put a pin in at an earlier meeting was whether or not to schedule, and it might be too early to tell, whether or not we need to schedule additional meetings of this body. Is that something that we know about yet, or is that pending?
Yeah, I think it's probably one of those things that's pending. given the pace of this project, I think we'll have a whole lot more to report to you at your April meeting. And that may be a place where we can ask this question again.
Okay, thank you. And then another question for Pat maybe is in your 4+1 bullet points, reaching out to SPC members was one of them. How will that look so that we know what to expect?
Well, Mary Ann, we are going to contact you and we'll either set up an appointment or we will send you a survey. It'll be one or the other.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, well, if there is no further business, we can adjourn. Thank you all for a really good discussion, and thank you to Lindsay and LTD staff for working really fast and really hard at all of this. It's really exciting to see what's happening, so thank you.
Thank you all for your input, thank you. Too.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, that was helpful. Really was.
All right. Thanks, both of you, and we'll see you later.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Tim.